All right.
Welcome to Blue Jays Talk. We're July 7th.
Way to stop Blue Jays Talk.
Start Blair
over.
Barker.
You want to start? You want to start the music over again?
Offensive Blair and Barker.
There you go.
We're doing Blue Jays Talk. I'm already thinking about. See, I'm so far ahead. I'm taking tonight's win for granted so much. There we go. I'm taking tonight's win for granted so much. Welcome to Blair and Barker.
There it is. Yes, sir.
But I am taking tonight's win for granted. That's how confident I am, Kevin Barker.
Wow.
The Jays and the Chicago White Sox opened a three-game series. I don't even know what the hell they call the ballpark anyway. We used to call it the Cell, U.S. Cellular Field, but I'm sure it's changed its name. Three-game series tonight against the Chicago White Sox. The Toronto Blue Jays folks are 52-38. They're first in the AL East. They are coming off their seventh sweep of the season. They're in a season-high eight-game winning streak. They're 32-16 at home, which I think is significant. By the way, that is the third-best home record in the AL, which I think is significant, Kevin, because one of the things we talked about for the past couple of years is whatever happened to the home field advantage for the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, it's not 2015 yet. The place isn't a cauldron. People aren't throwing stuff at opposing teams yet. But this homestand against the Yankees, certainly against the Yankees, Kevin, and then capped off with that three-game sweep of the Angels, you really got the sense that the Rogers Center has become an uncomfortable place for visiting teams to play because stuff just seems to happen. You're either losing a game to the Jays because somebody drops a bunt, or you're losing a game to the Jays because some guy makes his major league debut and throws four innings and gives up a hit. There's all sorts of Davis Schneider, Miles Straw, Ernie Clement, Ryan Burr happening right now if you're the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think that home record is really, really significant. It is at the All-Star break. For the Blue Jays. And again, the All-Star break is next weekend, but they've done the home portion of their schedule till after the All-Star break. I mean, they're on pace for 53 home wins. That would tie the franchise record. And, you know, we're talking about numbers we saw in 85. We're talking about numbers we saw in 92. We're talking about numbers that we've seen or that we saw in 2015. Right now, the Jays have 52 wins. That's the third most prior to the All-Star break. Again, 53, the 1985 Jays, 53, the 1992 Jays.
Yeah, it's almost making you wonder why they're so bad on the road. They're two games under 500. I mean, I know sometimes when I say that, you roll your eyes a little bit about routines and guys trying to figure out what they're, you know, trying to bring and figure out just why it's not translating from home to on the road. The leftover 39 road games for me is a big deal. I think that's sort of the deciding factor. I mean, that home field advantage, the amount of wins they've had so far is the reason why they're in first place. But now you got to figure out how to carry that over, how to play, you know, sort of a complete game, how to get your best players being your best players, not only at home, but carrying that over to the road. So yeah, I think you're getting back to my point. That were sort of John Schneider's point he's been trying to make all year is the 26 against one, the 9 against one, whoever's name he writes in, you know, he'll do whatever he needs to do to the lineup to make it better. Right on that, Vladdy's not driving in runs, so you put Bo behind him, who does drive in runs. Like, it's just little things like that to try and get the best out of everybody, make that sort of lineup as long as possible, having every guy come up sort of trying to be their best version of themselves. That's the manager's job. He's been doing a really good job of that. So, yeah.
He's been doing it.
It's amazing. I mean, if they win the American League East, he's the manager of the year. In my mind, I don't think it's a question. That, at least that's for me. Anyway, I mean, you can make some arguments for the guy in Detroit, but man alive, they win the East. For me, that's a no-brainer. So,
yeah,
look, I think they're, you know, again, this little going on the road and just sort of trying to make it look like it looks at home. Can they do that? It's like the two guys going the next 2 days. Barrios is good on the road. Bassett's not. How do you figure that out? Like, it's the guy standing on the mound, right? It's sort of momentum. You say this all the time, right? It's about the guy, the next day starter. Well, how do they figure out how to just get those guys a little deeper in games, make it look the best version of those guys' selves, so you're not having to wear out the bullpen arms and have the Little and the Hoffmans always coming in games when, quite frankly, a lot of the times they shouldn't be, right? I mean, you got to try and save that. Obviously, every win matters, and you're trying to throw your best arm in the spots that you're supposed to be throwing them in. But, yeah, I think that for me going forward the next 39 games on the road is very important just to figure out. You know, they got everybody. The minds are working overtime under the, you know, in the underground city to try and figure out why they're not playing great at home, and hopefully they do. And playing bad teams on the road will help. The White Sox and the A's are not very good teams. You don't have to play perfect to beat those teams. Just be solid. Don't beat yourself. Have good starting pitching. Turn it over to the arm you're supposed to be turning it over to. Hopefully with some bigger leads. Hopefully Vladdy gets going. You do that, they'll win more games than they'll lose.
I mean, let's do a bit of a reset ahead of tonight's game. So the Jays are 52-38. They're three up in the Yankees, who are 49-41, and Tampa Bay, who's 49-41. They are 6.5 up on the Boston Red Sox, who are 46-45. And they are 11.5 up on the Baltimore Orioles, who are 40-49. The Jays are 9-1 in their last 10. The Yankees are 3-7 in their last 10. The Rays are 4-6 in their last 10. The Yankees are playing Seattle. The Rays are playing Detroit. As we sit here right now, the Jays had to make some lineup moves, some roster moves on the weekend. Jimmy Garcia has gone on the IL.
How do you do that, Jeff?
I was either slipping going between the hot tub and the cold tub, or slipping come out of something to do with hot and cold tubs.
When I heard that, what did I say to you?
Well, you made a very good point that a situation like that,
lie.
Yeah,
stretch
lie.
The truth a stretch, little.
Maybe you don't make it sound so, you know.
Like he's old, you got to put him in bubble wrap. He can't go from one tub to the other tub.
Just say he aggravated something.
Say he was out doing sprints.
Yeah, lower body. Lower body injury.
PFPs, or I don't know, lie.
We're not certain when he did it, but it flared up after the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's old. We believe that.
I mean,
we believe you.
Listen, as a reporter, I'm all for honesty. I mean, everybody gets, you know, likes those stories. Yes. I covered a guy who was out of the lineup because he, Brett Barbary with the Montreal Expos, because he had Tabasco sauce in his fingers eating in the clubhouse and rubbed his eyes, and he was out of the lineup. And we won't talk about Curtis Laskanik's absence
that was
from
miserable.
The lineup. That was
miserable.
Sorry,
Brett guy. It's funny, though.
What?
It was funny.
It was. I mean, well, no. Well, yeah.
Well, it was funny for me.
It was for you. Anyhow, just, you know, you know what? Go Google Curtis Laskanik. You find it.
You
anyhow,
will?
All that aside, so
that's
Jimmy Garcia.
Google?
What?
That's on Google?
It was a news story. It was covered in news. Yeah, It was a news story. I mean, a reliever goes in the IL and spends all day walking around the clubhouse in a house coat.
They'll go to Google and figure it out.
All right. Anyhow. So Jimmy Garcia is on the IL. Andrés Giménez is on the IL after aggravating that ankle injury. And as a result, the Jays brought up Joey Loperfido. Ryan Burr is up here. They had Lazaro Estrada up here for day. He went back down. I mean, they're basically...
all did stuff to win a baseball game. All of them.
Loperfido
got
a
big hit.
A run.
With two strikes off a lefty.
Ryan Burr tossed an inning in a third.
Really good spinner. Get lefties out.
Estrada tossed 4 1/3 innings on Saturday. And... I don't know if you'd say he saved the bullpen, but look, yeah, I mean, he saved the bullpen. That's good what he put it.
You can save it.
I mean, the Jays right now are kind of, their bullpen, to be polite, is...
Abused.
And John Schneider and Pete Walker, I mean, somehow they pieced this together, and they're already without Varsho. They're already without Santander. He's in the 60-day IL. He's not coming back till just before the All-Star break. And they just keep winning.
Yeah. Vladdy's not top 65 in RBIs.
And they
not
just keep
top
winning.
50 in total bases.
And they just keep winning.
Which is truly amazing.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
They're in first place. The run differential's like 12.
Well, it's been better. It's a lot bigger than that the last month and a half.
Yeah, and they are, I mean, they're just, they're finding ways to win.
They play complete games. They make the other team beat them.
Yeah.
They make a play when they're supposed to make it. One team don't get a bunt down, the Jays do.
They get just enough starting pitching. Just enough starting pitching.
I'll get back to that. The GM needs to be the MVP of the team this year. I mean, you got the urgency. If it's not now, when? Like, I mean, look, that I just don't know how you can continue not getting great outings from your rotation and turning it over to a bullpen and basically saying, here, you need to hold this till our lineup figures it out. It's a lot to ask.
I mean, let's be clear. The All-Star break can't come soon enough for these guys. And, yeah, I mean, listen, it's – I think the GM was going to be aggressive anyhow. I don't think he's seen anything – I mean, he has been at the trade deadline when they've contending. Ben Nicholson-Smith wrote a terrific article on sportsnet.ca today. And I would ask you just to look at it. And it's just take a look at what Ross Atkins has done when the Jays have been in position. I mean, they've been – he's made some really good moves. He's made some moves that have flown under the radar that people don't necessarily recognize till they go back and go, oh, yeah, that actually – that was actually a pretty good move. So, yeah, it's – boy, it's – I don't think people in this city have felt this way about this team since 2016. And I made the point – maybe this is why I was thinking of Blue Jays talk when we came on. One of the things that really has happened in the last couple of days that we've been doing Blue Jays talk is we've had people call up out of the blue, and one of the things they mentioned is how much fun it is to watch this team. And we, honest to God, we haven't heard that for 4 or 5 years. And just going to the ballpark this weekend, being in the ballpark this weekend, being around the fans this weekend, going through the concourse, all that stuff, it's not quite 2015 yet. Even had a fight in the 500 level.
Did
it's not, yeah, uh-huh. I didn't, but it was a. It's not quite 2015 yet, but boy, it's getting that feeling. It really is getting that feeling, and this is a team. And I've talked about this with Toronto. Toronto loves superstars, but they really like it when a whole bunch of no names get together and become a real good team. That's what made 2015 so exciting, is those guys were all great. They were great players, but it's not like, I mean, it's not like Jose Bautista's career dropped, you know, was given to him on a platter. All those guys had to work to get to where they are.
I wonder if the front office is sitting up there now that the Jays are three up in first place, have changed their mind about what they're trying to do at the trade deadline.
I don't think so.
Are they trying to win a division? Or are they trying to make the playoffs? Now, we have heard the front office say it's, you know, we're just about making the playoffs. It's fine. Now you got a chance because of what the other teams are not doing in your division to win your division.
Your team
is showing light enough to do it if you add the right pieces to help out or some big pieces.
Based on what I've seen so far, I'm doing whatever I can to get home field advantage. I mean,
it's going to take you about 92 wins to win a division. That means about 40 more wins.
Yeah,
that's a lot of wins, Jeff. I mean, you're asking the pen to do
wins.
Some
52 wins is a lot of wins.
You're asking, that's 40 more when everybody's expecting you to get 40 more is a lot more for me anyway than 52. Mm-hmm. That's just the way I'm looking at it. You can look at it any way you want to look at it. Those 39 on the road are, you got to do some heavy lifting, man. That's why 90 wins is not the easiest to get in the big leagues, as you well know. You've been covering this game forever. It's not easy. You got to play some serious baseball. And I just wonder if you're sitting up there watching the way they play the Yankees, the way they looked against the Angels. Angels not a very good team. You keep them in the yard, you can beat them a lot of the times. But you got to do it. Like, you got to do enough. You know, the manager's got to be pulling the right strings all the time. I ask you, when's the last time John made the wrong decision? Like, and then what, you know, when the guy came in that nobody ever heard of before, coming in, doing things, throwing four innings. Like, it's just things like that. I just don't know. I just don't know the mindset of coming into this. It has to be ebbs and flows of a front office too, right? I mean, you're looking at it one time, they're this. I mean, they started the season 26-28. They went 26-10 since. Your mindset has to change, right?
But you've also had your owner come out and say he wants to win trophies. So I'm not entirely certain this week, Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro got together and said, okay, let's try to make the team better now. We're
okay,
good.
But the feeling's different when you go 26-10 than 26-28.
Fighting for your job.
People are talking about selling.
Fighting for your job, I don't know.
Are the Jays selling?
Not many talking about that anymore. Not many people were talking about. I mean,
26-28. There's some rumblings of whether they are or whether they're not.
No, when you had most of the national reporters on, they were all saying the same thing. They didn't see the Jays as sellers because you didn't get the sense they had to sell. So yeah, I've never thought they were sellers. If anything, I thought they were going to. Maybe hold serve and not do anything. The Jays lineup is out. It is Nathan Lucas, George Springer, Vladdy Jr., Bo Bichette, Addison Barger, Alejandro Kirk going to the All-Star game.
Nice.
Will Wagner at third base, Ernie Clement at second, Joey Loperfido back in left field against the right-hander.
Speaking of trade piece.
Sean Burke.
Showing other teams.
We did mention, shout-out Alejandro Kirk. He was selected to the All-Star game. And we're going to be joined by Eric Kratz. We'll talk about all the snubs later. See, I don't think there's such a thing as an all-star snub. Everybody gets worked up. And you know what's going to happen in the next week? Somebody's going to get hurt or pull out, and George Springer's going to go. So before
you
start,
I don't know if I'd want to go or not.
I mean,
I've been good enough all season. I'm the best team. I'm the best player on the first place team in the American League East. And you didn't vote me in?
Oh, hold it. Hold it. That. It's not. But this is a player vote.
I still ain't going.
Yeah, I think it's silly. But anyway,
you do?
Yeah, I think it's silly. I mean, if you get chosen,
plans with my wife and my family, go to vacation or something. Enjoy the All-Star. See you.
I mean, anyhow. But yeah, I mean, I've never thought that, you know, Juan Soto is like, I mean, this is a player vote. You know? So I always tell people, because back in the day, I used to have to do player surveys for like Baseball America and USA Today, all these places. You'd be surprised how many dumbass answers you get from players. Guys picked the DHs who hadn't DH'd a game year. I mean, guys picked at third base who were second baseman. I'm serious. There were a lot of ballots you'd go through to go, holy
Yeah, but leaving
cow.
Soto off the ballot's a little different than somebody nobody's ever heard of as DH before. I mean, Soto's the highest paid player in the history of the sport.
That tells you what the players think about him.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Tells you what players think about him. I'm just saying that every year, so the fans get it wrong. Well, everybody. I mean, it's what the All-Star game. It's a beauty contest.
I think for the most part, if you look at both rosters, I think they got it right.
For the
most part, I think it's good.
There's nobody.
Other than the Springer thing, Springer deserves it.
I mean, here's the way I look at it.
He deserves it more than Vladdy does.
Vladdy was voted in, so that's.
I know.
That's irrelevant.
I know that.
That's irrelevant.
I understand that.
The fans wanted
it's a popularity.
Vladdy.
I get it.
So.
I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying they're not in first place without that dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be real about it.
Fans wanted Vladdy.
If I told you how many games they played, a lot. I can't remember the exact number. That George Springer's fifth in slug and fourth in OPS in the American League.
Yep.
That's crazy stuff, man.
That is crazy.
I mean, that is.
It's almost as good a year as Juan Soto's having.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was to tell you that Vladdy would be about fifth in line for that most important at bat in a game, and they'd be in first place, you'd say, you're nuts, Kevo. You are nuts. But he is. He's about fifth in line for the guy you'd want up having the biggest at bat of a game.
Maybe.
Kirk, Springer, Bo, Barger, Vladdy. There's your five.
You put Barger up there already?
Absolutely. He can hit a heater and he's left-handed. You talk about most relievers throw hard and are right-handed. You wouldn't?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm letting you say it. I'm not disagreeing with you.
You let me say.
Yeah, I'm letting you hang yourself.
Let's not hang it. Hopefully he does exactly what he did last year. Vladdy. 63 games last year.
I haven't found out if he's going to the All-Star game or not.
Who, Vladdy?
Or if he's going in the home run derby.
Oh, I think he said he wasn't already. Only when it comes here.
See, I think he should be in the home run derby. I think that gets
me
going.
Me too. I don't think it would hurt. I think he thrives off of the, I don't want to say attention, but he likes a lot of positive energy around him. And just lately he hasn't had it.
Pete Alonso's not going. He's bored of it.
He's tired of winning.
Yeah. But anyhow, we'll deal with the All-Star picks with Eric Kratz later. David Sampson will join us.
Nice.
We'll take a look at obviously where the Jays are. We're going to talk about no trade lists. Brian Reynolds of the Pirates, his no trade list. Did you see this story?
Oh, yeah.
Dodgers, Padres, Blue Jays, Giants, Yankees, and Mets. So basically leaving the Blue Jays aside because they're in Canada. If you're a good team.
You don't want to go.
You don't want to go.
Oh.
He'll go to the Marlins and the Rockies. And we'll talk to
maybe
David.
Maybe he feels like he's not going to play on good teams.
No.
Maybe that's what
it is. I'm sure David will say it shows you just how much BS no trade lists are. Because what he's thinking is, and what his agent is thinking is, we'll go to those teams.
Yeah.
But you got to agree to buy out our option year. Or it's the same thing with, I talked about Troy Tulowitzki, Troy Gloss. Toronto was on their no trade list.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up in Toronto. No trade lists are their bargaining chips.
Well,
but anyhow, we'll
sense.
Talk to Sampson about that. We'll also talk about the Washington Nationals. They fired Dave Martinez and Mike Rizzo.
Mm. You don't agree with that?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with Dave Martinez because ownership, I should say, has been pretty outspoken in support of him. Oh, look, I can't argue. What are they? They're got the third worst record in baseball. The only thing, Mike Rizzo's made the best trade in baseball in the last 3 years.
The Soto deal.
And you'd think that'd give you a little more runway.
Maybe somebody wanted to get rid of the manager, and he didn't want any part of it. He said, "He go, I go."
Yeah,
that's what it was.
But anyhow, we'll talk to Sampson. It's a very odd time too, right? I mean,
they got the first pick.
They got the draft. Yeah, but
that Holiday kid's going the first pick, right?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't pay attention to the draft till next year.
Well, first pick's pretty cool.
My sense is. The scouting director's still there. I'm sure they'll figure out how to run the draft. I'm sure they'll figure out. But it is odd time. Why not do it at the All-Star break? Like, why not do it
Want their voice during the, during the all the stuff.
Miguel Cairo has been named manager of the team.
There you go.
So, just an odd time. Yu Darvish is making his season debut tonight. I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot to talk about.
I love baseball.
And, of course, the Jays being where they are right now.
I'll
be interested to get Kratz's.
Me too. Explain the Jays.
Thoughts on that.
And it's like you can go 97 different directions.
It's not just explain it. I mean, I think you made a good point. It's not just explain it. Is it sustainable? Like, I think we know why the Jays are where they are right now. Is it sustainable, though? Is it realistic to do this?
Yeah.
To think that this is going to continue. You are going to get Santander back.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that as a trade. If he comes back, he is capable of hitting 15 home runs down the street.
Absolutely.
You get Dalton Varsho back. He's capable of,
10 or 12.
10 or 12.
Yeah. I'd love for a smart person to tell me if they added this piece and this piece, would it make them have a better chance of winning their division? I'm just throwing the 40 games out there because it's a nice little round number and it gets you to 92. And I think 92 is she'll win that division this year because of where the Yankees and the Rays are at and what the Red Sox are not doing. If I add this piece, will it help us? I don't know the answer to that. It's like, look who's winning these games for him, Jeff.
That's what I mean.
It's crazy stuff, right? It's nuts. What if Vladdy gets hot? Help him or hurt him?
It's like the argument about if Santander and Varsho come back, do you worry about upsetting the momentum? No.
I can hit them sixth or seventh.
Because you're not worried about upsetting the momentum.
No.
I just find that argument. How are they going to fit in? Well, you know how they're going to fit in? They're going to fit in the middle of the order because you're paying a lot of money because the guy's got
a
track record.
Huh? You putting Tony in the middle of the order? Who's he hitting
sixth.
In front of?
I put him sixth.
Well, that's not middle of the order.
Well, fourth, fifth, sixth. I mean, I put him around there.
He ain't hitting fourth for me.
I'll put him around there. Maybe fifth. I'll put him there.
He did in front of
Barton. But again, they've got to be healthy before you make that decision.
He's a threat. I think that he will make the other manager think about who he's bringing in, which is a big deal, I would think, in August and September.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I just, all the other pieces, right? How do you handle the pen? How do you not kill the dudes that have been here all year? How do you make the rotation, at least the big three, better?
The biggest issue for me is that.
How do you win more games than you lose on the road? That's sort of this, the three.
But the only thing is you can't make a trade that makes you win more games on the road. You can't look at it that way. You've got to make a trade that makes your team better. Because I don't know how the hell you'd make a trade. I don't know how the hell you'd make a trade to specifically make you better on the road. It's pretty clear that they need more bullpen arms, a leverage arm, certainly. Mm. And I still think they need a starting pitcher. You know, Max Scherzer started on Saturday, gave him four innings, came out, talked about how the thumb interfered with his between-start work. So I think you need to make a move that limits the potential impact of a recurrence of Max Scherzer's injury. You really do.
It's obvious they've mastered whatever they've mastered at home with the way they play. They're 19th in ERA. They're 27th in runs scored on the road. It's a problem. How do you figure those two things out?
We will ask Eric Kratz about that. He will join us next. He's host of Foul Territory, former MLB catcher Kevin Pillar will join us at 5 o'clock. He, of course, has officially retired from the game, and I believe he's going to be, Mark, you told me he's going to be hosting an episode of Foul Territory. So Kevin Pillar will end up getting into the podcast game, no surprise there as well. David Sampson joins us as well. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker. Hey, shout out to George Springer. Congratulations, just named AL Player of the Week.
There you go.
Not enough to get in the All-Star team yet, but
I still wouldn't go. If I was invited tomorrow, I wouldn't go. I'm good.
That's silly.
See ya. It's not silly.
It's an honor to go. And I think at this stage of George's career, it's even more of an honor.
All right. Well, you keep telling yourself that.
Well, I mean, I do believe he also gets some money, too.
Come on.
No.
As much money as he made? Enough. I haven't looked it up, but a lot.
$250,000, which is what a lot of the All-Star bonuses are. I'd do that. I'll tell you what. Give me $250,000. I might spend 4 days in Atlanta instead of three.
Yeah, you would. He's not going to. Take your private jet and skedaddle. You've earned it.
Oh, God. Let's bring in Eric Kratz. He's host of Foul Territory. Former MLB catcher. Eric, so set Barker straight. Barker, we were talking about All-Star snubs, and I said, you know, I mean, everybody in Toronto's up in arms over George Springer. Relax. Somebody's going to pull out or somebody's going to get hurt. And Barker said, I wouldn't go.
Nope.
Would you go if you considered it to have been quote-unquote snubbed?
Yep.
And they come along and basically say, you know, the fans didn't vote you in and you weren't first choice of the players, but we'd kind of like you to go.
Not if your name's Kevin Barker. If your name's George Springer, remember that. Okay,
you'd go anyhow, wouldn't you?
If your name, first of all, if Barky got chosen, he would still go. He would go with a little bit of like that, like little whiny Barkiness, like where he'd be like, "Well, yeah, I mean, I should have." He would give a little snarky comment, like,
"No way."
Well, I'm here, but I should have been here anyway. I don't know why he's starting, but that's fine. It's cool. I'll probably get one at bat.
Yep. No, I
couldn't disagree more. I wouldn't. If I'm George Springer and I just happen to say, well, there's nobody else, you might as well go, and I've made the amount of money that George has made, there's no chance I'm going. If it's Kevin Barker and I've made the minimum, and yeah, and I've had a decent year, and you vote me in, and it's an All-Star game, and I'm going to make a little extra money. Absolutely. But that's the big difference.
Yes.
Yeah. If I'm Georgia, there's no chance I'm going. No chance.
I would agree with that, except the no chance part. Here's the other side of it, too. How many more All-Star games is Georgia going to make?
It's probably the last one.
At a different,
yeah.
His family, you hope he still does, but his family is at a different spot. You know, how much do they want to enjoy it? Is it something that the last time he made it, did an uncle not get to go? So it's less about him, because an All-Star game, I've watched guys, they're like, oh, I would love those 4 days off. But that can never be said. Because if a player says that, people will be up in arms. Are you kidding me? I don't have 4 days off in the last decade of work at the factory. I get that. But if I'm a Blue Jays fan, I hope he says what Barkey says.
Yeah.
Because an All-Star game does nothing for the 3-game lead that they have right now. An All-Star game does nothing for the lack of a championship hanging in the rafters since 1993. It does nothing for the lack of making it to the World Series since 1993. So his 4 days off, that might be what George needs and wants. And so it's a catch 22 for Blue Jays fans.
Yeah.
Can the Jays continue to win baseball games, Eric, the way they've won them recently? I'm not taking anything away from Ernie Clement, but there's a lot of Ernie Clement going on with this team. You know, there's a lot of everybody chipping in and you know, guys coming up, making their major league debut and throwing 4 innings of relief. It really is, you know, like a group effort here. Is it possible for that to continue?
I mean, why wouldn't it? Like, is Ernie Clement hurt? Is Ernie Clement benefiting from the fact that George Springer's having a resurgence? Bo Bichette is having a resurgence. He had a down year.
Mm-hmm.
Vladimir Guerrero's comfortable, so he's making a good clubhouse presence. Like a rising tide raises all ships. So when good players play great, average players play good, below average players play average. Like, it always happens. You look at the history of every playoff team, you get guys like Tyler Heineman playing once every 3 to 5 days and coming up with clutch hits, mm-hmm. hitting more career home runs than he's ever hit. Like, you have that kind of stuff because there's not as much pressure on them. When you're a 500 team, there's pressure for, like, guys to, like, oh, man, Vladdy didn't do it. Well, then I'll do it. Here I come off the top rope. And it just doesn't work out. But, yes, it can continue. And I'll say why it can continue. Is because the roster plays the game that they're expected to play. They're not leading the league in home runs. They're not leading the league in errors. They're one of the best defensive teams, and they're putting guys in position. Look at the team that the Blue Jays just swept, the Yankees. They know, they've been on the record and said, Jazz Chisholm is a better second baseman than third baseman. Where did he play? Third base. He's a below average player at that position, and they still have to play him at that position. The Blue Jays aren't in that spot right now. They have quality defense, which they added to and doubled down on when they picked up a guy like Andrés Giménez. When they said, you know what, Vladdy, I get it. We do want Pete Alonso. We do want you to go play third. But, hey, you know what, now we don't have to have you at a premium position at third base and downgrade our defense. So it's helped everything. It's helped the pitching pitch better. It's helped those – you get 4 innings of relief out of rookies. You know, you sit there and you go, well, how does that work? Because he's trusting that they can put the ball in play and he's going to get out. He doesn't have to swing, you know, he doesn't have to get swing and miss night in and night out, pitch after pitch.
Kratzy, can you ever feel when you're in a locker room on a good team that the trade deadline is coming up and, you know, there's sort of talks and rumblings around sort of the room that, man alive, I can't wait till they get a guy like that in here. Can you feel that in the room when you're a good team?
Man, can you feel it in the room? I'll tell you what. You don't want to feel it in the room, and I'll tell you why. Because he's taking somebody's spot. And if you truly believe, and Dan Shulman was just on our show today, he said 26 men are winning these games for the Blue Jays. Would you guys agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah. Now when you say, whoa, Sandy Alcantara is available, there's talks that we could get him. Which of those 26 guys are you going to look at and be like, sorry, bud, see you in Buffalo? Mm. Like, that's the part that you don't feel it, but what you do is you mourn the loss of your comrade going down to Buffalo, but you also are excited when you get somebody. So you're not sitting there going, man, we want this guy. We have to have this guy. And I saw it play out in 2014 when Jose Bautista, after the trade deadline, was pissed. He was pissed at Alex Anthopoulos. Mm-hmm. He was pissed at ownership that we didn't make a move. They were 2.5 games out when they traded me. I mean, they just traded me for Danny Valencia because Danny Valencia got in a fight in the Royals locker room, and they were like, Royals are like, we got to get rid of you. But I was over in the Royals locker room, and we were also 2.5 games out at the same time. And nobody in the Royals locker room was like, dang it. How did we not get David Price? All we got was freaking Eric Kratz and Liam Hendricks. Like, where the Blue Jays, their main mouthpiece, Jose Bautista, came out and goes, how do we not get a starter? How do we not get this guy? That, you know, the things that he said, that can sometimes divide a locker room. Ultimately, it's about the stars. Like, if Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista and Brett Lowry hit dingers, like, the team's going to win. It's not, but it's about that. You talk about that, like, feel that, what you said earlier, the Ernie Clement wins that they're having. That is a real thing. It's not sustainable in the sense that, like, oh, we're just going to have this every single year. And it's not quantifiable, but it is a real thing that when you start saying, hey, we need an upgrade at the trade deadline, that's you're cutting somebody's throat. You're cutting somebody's Achilles heel, like, oh, thanks, bro. I knew you meant me because I had 5 straight bad outings. Or I knew you meant me because I'm hitting 130 in July.
Huh. The Washington Nationals fired Dave Martinez and Mike Rizzo yesterday. You know, look, the record would suggest that things weren't necessarily working out there, although, you know, they do have some young players, and the young players they have, the young stars they have, were as a result of that Juan Soto deal. And just doing some reading on, you know, from people like Barry Zwarluga and Ken Rosenthal, it seems as if there's some emerging issue here with Mark Lerner, the Nationals owner. Should we be surprised that that those two gentlemen were fired right now? I know the draft's coming up, but I've always kind of thought that at this point you've more or less done your draft work, and you know it's going to be up to your scouting director to sort of run the ship at that point.
Yeah, I think they've done all their work. I mean, they're not making any. They'll make more like last minute decisions, but if Rizzo's the one in there making those last minute decisions, I feel like they're in a bad place anyway.
Yep.
Not that he can't make those decisions, but just like you hired a lot of people to make decisions.
Yes.
And I don't think your input was definitely. So they've had a ton of input, and it's a 1-1 pick. It's not like they're like, I wonder who's going to fall to us at 5.
Yes.
Like they're getting the 1-1 pick. And so I don't think that's as big an issue as I think this decision was probably made in the offseason, because they didn't go out and make a splash in the free agent market.
Mm.
It was made in the offseason because the ownership said, you know what, you're going to have to win with the guys we have. Because the last time the ownership said, yeah, I believe you. We're a year or two away from truly contending. I don't want to spend $50 extra million on – on Jason Wirth. Right. Jason Wirth's highest contract offer was $77 million. And they paid him $126 million. Like, you have to go. Ownership says, okay, I believe in that. I believe in what you're doing. And I don't think ownership believed in what Mike Rizzo was doing. And I think that goes back to, Barry was on our show today also, and I think it goes back to the fact that, you know, what have they developed from their system? And that goes directly on player baseball operation.
Right.
You can't say they didn't develop Mackenzie Gore. They didn't develop C.J. Abrams or James Wood. All those guys came over in a trade. Even Haslam came over in the Soto trade, which turns out to be freaking really good trade. So you kind of have to look and see what the Blue Jays could have gotten for Vladdy. But anyway, Vladdy's locked up for life. I'm not going to bring that up.
But thanks for doing that.
Just
now,
did,
Bart,
you're
just giving Barker something to talk about for the next week. Really appreciate that.
That was for Kevin. And all my adoring fans in Toronto. But all that to say, who else have they done that to? And you look at a guy like Dylan Cruz. Dylan Cruz has struggled this year. He's hitting like 196. He's hurt right now. When he comes back, bang, he's going to be right back in the order. So in my lifetime, until the last like 5 years, there was nobody that got called up from the minor leagues this quick. Like, it was dudes like, I mean, you're talking about like once in a generation type of players get called up before they're 20 years old. You know, now it's been, you know, of this past group, like a Juan Soto, once in a generation player. Paul Skeens, once in a generation type of player. But now we're seeing like, we're seeing Neto, Shanawell, Dylan Cruz, Wyatt Langford, all these guys getting called up with no minor league experience. There's a growth issue there. But the reason the teams are doing it is because, you know what? It's super cheap. It makes me look like I'm doing my job. And I think the Nationals also believe, you know what? We don't have a lot of development going on in our minor league system. So why not just throw them in the big leagues and let them develop in the big leagues? And that can be detrimental to a big league team.
Kratzy, we're seeing so many different things going on in baseball. You just mentioned the Nationals. You know, the Yankees may not be as good as everybody says they were. The Blue Jays are in first place. There's 20 games left until the trade deadline. Give me two storylines you're looking for. Could be any team, could be any player, could be any front office. Anything you're going to really hone in on the next 20 games before the deadline?
What do the Diamondbacks do in the next 20 games? Mm-hmm. I think the whole league is looking at that.
Yep.
I think the whole league is wanting a Josh Naylor, Zach Gallen at a low price. Unfortunately for the Diamondbacks, Zach Gallen's been meh. He's pitching tonight. And the reality is, if he pitches well tonight and they win, they move a game above 500. Or, I mean, two games above 500. So you're like, oh, well, we're still in it. We played against the Padres. This is a big series. There's a lot of big series. But really, the Diamondbacks are a big storyline here. And I think a very underrated storyline that I don't think teams or executives are willing to admit to. They are watching Sandy Alcantara like a kid with scissors. Like, they are watching it and like, okay. Oh, that's a good start. Oh, his velocity uptick. Oh, his vertical break is back to where it used to be pre-Tommy John. Teams are going through his metrics and saying, can this price that the Marlins are really saying, okay, we want big time money for this guy, big time prospects for this guy, because they're going to trade him. They don't want him. They just don't know if they're going to trade him now or if they're going to trade him in the offseason. And it will depend on his next three starts, and because he could really help bolster. Everybody needs starting pitching. I mean, even I think Blue Jays have great starting pitching. They would love to have a number four in Alcantara if he's gonna slot in behind Berrios, Bassett, and Gausman. Because I think all those guys about a month ago, not a month ago, this last 26-10 run that the Jays went on, they could have been the ones that teams were calling about. So kudos to the Jays. Kudos to Jays fans also for coming out and supporting this team when they're winning. Freaking Canada Day is one thing, but freaking Canada Week when the roof is open, I'm telling you, that place looked electric. Like, it felt like my TV was rocking. So all that stuff propelled this team to where they are. Three-game lead, Barkey. Stay with your chest.
I know. I love it.
Eric, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks, man. You're the best.
You are the best, buddy.
I've heard worse. I appreciate that.
Be well.
See you, dude.
Eric Kratz is host of Foul Territory. And we'll be joined by Kevin Pillar, who announced his retirement.
Mm.
Same thing. Announced his retirement on Foul Territory's podcast last week. So it's kind of cool to kind of have the two together. David Sampson joins us as well. So there you go. I mean, the Diamondbacks, they got close, and they didn't win the World Series. And I wonder if that makes it, Sampson, this. When you get close, does it make it easier or harder to decide to throw in the towel? Like, you almost had the taste, and now you're two games above 500. Or do you, after having gone to a World Series and knowing what it takes, do you have a more realistic look at your team and look, this is what we had and we went there, and it's just not measuring up this year? I'm with Eric. I think the Diamondbacks could be somebody's one-stop shopping. So could the Pirates. If they're making David Bednar available, which they should, and Mitch Keller, you could Sacramento's another team. There are a couple of teams where you could just do one-stop shopping.
I'm more intrigued about the way you talked about the Blue Jays and the trade deadline and how you don't disrupt what's going on in the clubhouse. I don't like that answer.
Well, I think...
he might have a little something. He might be on to something, but man alive. Like, they don't need another eighth inning guy? I mean, where's Jimmy?
Yeah, but here's the thing. A lot of guys... I think you know enough about the guys who are available at the trade deadline to know whether or not they will disrupt the clubhouse. Yeah, you know, I think what he was getting at more than anything else is you have to be aware who your big guys are. You just have to be aware who you're going to have to count on to win. But I don't. You know, disrupting it, like, is Josh Naylor going to disrupt the clubhouse? I mean, he's his own guy. I don't know if he's going to disrupt the clubhouse. A lot of these other guys have won elsewhere.
I think Kratz is talking about chemistry. I think he's talking about the way you've been winning up until this point. You get rid of one guy to bring a guy in who hasn't been a part of the chemistry up until this point. It doesn't really matter about how much talent he has.
But. I can see that maybe in terms of an everyday player, but how is a good – someone's going to have to explain to me how adding a Mason Miller would disrupt the clubhouse chemistry. I'm just getting a guy who you know, is one of the – or Emmanuel Clase, an elite. How is adding an elite reliever disrupting my chemistry? Does it have an impact on what Jeff Hoffman's going to do? Maybe that's kind of what we're talking about, but – but, man, I'd like to think that, a guy like Jeff Hoffman, who's gotten paid, I would like to think that he would welcome having another guy who's going
to
come along.
I don't know. He's pissed his arm off trying to get him to where they're at. And then you're bringing in another guy to sort of get credit for the biggest games of the year.
But we don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know if he's going to get credit for the biggest games of the year.
Well, he's going to get some. You're bringing in a dude like that, he's going to get some run.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that he's going
to
be.
I think that's what Kratz is talking about. It gets back to that can't teach experience. Kratz's been through it before. I've never been in a locker room on a good team before. Medium teams didn't really care who they brought in or eliminated. A team like this, little engine of good, Jeff. It ain't, Larry's been missing in action for about 350 at bats. I don't know, bud.
The little $251 million engine that could. Kevin Pillar joins us next. So does David Sampson. not at the same time, back to back. We've got Jay's tickets to give away. We got a great trivia question, maybe the most trivial trivia question of all time coming up. All that ahead on Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet.